Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1520 KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. Call Kim now to share your journey, 805-289-1520. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, and you are tuning in to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'm your host, Kim Pagano. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome, and I am grateful for you as my listeners out there. I bring to you a variety of guests that I feel that can add value to our lives. With it being said that today, it's all about Valentine's Day, and it's right around the corner, but it's one of my most favorite holidays. I mean, I kind of think Valentine's Day should be every day. So anyways, I welcome you into the studio, and I have my friend Marcia Hively here.
I have a different view on Valentine's Day since I'm a florist.
Oh, yeah, there you go. See? Okay.
I do believe Valentine's Day should be every day, though.
There you go. And Sharon Savidson, she is our life coach.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. And in our studio today, for the first time, we have Donna Casciola, right?
Hi. Hi, Kim.
How
Hi.
Are you? And she is the owner of All Things Tea right here in Camarillo. And we have lots of giveaways today. So for Valentine's Day, listen up and either call in at 805-419-0008 or email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. And also, we are going to be joined by Mark and Patricia, and they're going to be talking about great sex made simple. And so I'm really excited to learn a little bit about that. I mean, you know, we're in this big 24/7 world, and sometimes we just don't have enough time. So they're going to give us some tips and tricks to make our lives a little bit better. Then Donna's going to talk about us everything to do with tea. And I'm telling you, I went into her little place there in Camarillo, and amazing. I didn't know that there was that much tea. Coming from England, I have, you know, the good old English tea. And but you actually have a whole different aspect on all these different things and how they can help you. And are you called a cupper?
Well, I am a cupper, but what I am actually is a specially certified tea specialist.
Yeah, who ever knew that? I'm excited. Yeah. So if you are into tea, there is so many things that Donna's going to help us out and kind of get to know. Plus, she's got some giveaways that she brought with us, too. Then I'm going to be talking with Kathy Lipp, and we're going to talk about Valentine's Day 12 months out of the year with our mates. And she started this husband's project, so I'm kind of interested to find out a little bit about that. And then our last guest is Melissa Costello, and she is a culinary nutritionist and a certified wellness coach, and she is the author of the Karma Chow Ultimate Cookbook. And so, again, if you would like to get involved in what we're talking about, 805-419-0008, or you can always go down to my website, kimpaganoshow.com, and listen to any of my past shows there, which will be on and up. And, in fact, this one hopefully will be there before Saturday, so you can listen ahead of time, because we've got some giveaways all over the Facebook. And so I love all of my emails that I've been getting. Again, that's kim@kimpaganoshow.com, or you can Facebook me, which I've been getting amazing listeners on there, and that's at Kim Pagano Show. Also, we are on Twitter, and also all of my shows are downloaded on iTunes. iTunes there, so you can listen there. Anyways, I truly care about what you think about our show, and I love all your input. So let's get started on our first guest today, and that is Michael and Mark and Patricia. Are you guys there?
Hi.
Yay, all right. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Good.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Absolutely. So, great sex made simple. I mean, what a novelty, right? Tell us a little bit about yourself, and with Valentine's Day coming up, many couples are looking for something a little more special to do than just a typical dinner or roses or routine. What do you suggest?
Well, we suggest that they focus on giving each other an experience rather than gifts. We think that's a really wonderful way to make the day special.
I like that.
We also think that, as you were saying in the intro, that Valentine's Day shouldn't just be a one-off event. We really encourage people to continue to court each other through the course of their lives and to do different things to attract one another, to keep it fresh, to keep it vibrant.
Hi, this is Marcia.
When you're first starting out, it may be doing more material stuff, but as time goes on and you've accumulated a lot of things, then you really have to start paying attention to each other and going a little deeper than just that surface of giving gifts.
Isn't it true that, like, you know, especially Valentine's Day, it's really about expectations? So if you're going to give an experience, I think it's probably a good idea to discuss that ahead of time so one's not expecting one thing and then they get another. Because sometimes I think disappointment in any holiday or relationship has to do with what you expected to happen versus what really does happen.
I like what you're saying, because I think sometimes what we do is what we believe to be romantic or what we would really want, and we neglect to really focus in on what our partner enjoys.
This is Sharon.
Right?
And so it takes me back to the five languages of love, is like really finding out what someone's love language is. And for one, it may be spending time. I happen to love flowers. So you give me flowers, to me it's like you're giving me diamonds. I appreciate them. I love them. But give someone else flowers and they think it's the biggest waste of money. So when you figure out what the other person's language of love is, then you're doing something for them versus, as you said, you know, what you believe. You'll give your language of love because you'll think, well, I think this is awesome, so I'm going to do this for somebody else.
You know, there was actually an advertisement that I just saw, and it was husbands who do her chores have less sex, and studies say, but if you go and you get the lawnmower or you go get, you know, the car fixed, it was interesting. They say that they are more attracted to it. Husbands who do her chores. So if they help
so
you in the
do the dishes or do the
right.
So you want your husband to do manly chores?
I guess so.
I want my husband to do any chore he wants to do.
That's right. Right. There you go.
Right. 21 years, just do something.
There you go. Exactly. And you know, I mean, really, that's what I mean, that's really, it's funny because I was like, really? My husband goes, honey, I'm doing the dishes. And I'm like, okay, it's got to take a little more than that, you know, but so anyways, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're all about adding value every day in every way. And in our studio right now, we've got Sharon, and we've got Marcia, and we've got Donna. And Donna is here for the first time from All Things Tea right here in Camarillo. We're talking right now with Mark and Patricia, and their book is Great Sex Made Simple. So stay with us. Go ahead.
So what do you think is a great way to get you both on the same page?
Well, one of the things that we teach as kind of a foundation for people is to start out with a practice we call eye gazing. And that can be a challenge, especially for couples that have been together for a long time. They may start to laugh at each other, but that's just fine. We say stand and face each other and look into each other's eyes for 2 or 3 minutes every day and just make that a daily routine. And what you find if you do this on a regular basis is that you've established a connection. You're recreating the experience of falling in love, what you did naturally when you were first seeing each other.
I like how you talk about how kissing is so important. I think all of us, when we first get in a relationship, when you kiss somebody, if they're a terrible kisser, it is just a turnoff. And then if you combine and you like kissing each other, but as you have a relationship for a long period of time, you do kiss each other less and less just because life gets in the way.
Right. So
We like to recommend that couples actually bring kissing back in their long-term relationship. So one way of doing that is to just take a few minutes and have one person receive kisses and the other give them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. See? Okay. I love my show. We're always learning something here. So one person is doing the kissing, and is the other person saying, yeah, that feels really good, or not so good this time? No.
Well, it's really more of an exploration. It's really because we tend to do everything in sort of our erotic interactions in a way that's sort of unconscious, and we kind of hope for the best, and there's this sort of, I give a little bit, and then you'll give to me a little bit. But if you actually separate out the giving and receiving, and one person just allows the other person to give fully, and at the same time, that person takes in fully, it really can change the dynamic pretty dramatically.
Hmm, that's interesting.
It sounds like fun anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so where are we going next? Hello? Are
you... After the kissing?
Yeah.
Well, we usually progress to erogenism.
Oh.
There's often neglected parts of the body that are really wonderfully receptive to erotic touch that are very simple. One being the nape of the neck and paying attention to that area.
Yeah, and it's actually, in the Urban Dictionary, one of those online sources, it says that a kiss on the nape of the neck means, I want you. Mm. And that's something that, you know, it remains true even after all of the years that we've been together. We call it a transition zone. So if I'm doing the dishes or something like that, and Patricia comes up and kisses the nape of my neck,
you know,
I know
it's
that
time.
She's interested in something a little more.
And he knows his scheme of doing the dishes worked.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. So did it take time and practice to be able to communicate this? I mean, not a lot of couples. I think after a lot of years, you know, you'd somewhat, you know, I've got four children, and I don't know anybody else out there how many kids and what they have in their life, but sometimes you get caught in all that everyday stuff, and then you kind of, you know, you need to regroup on your marriage. I think it's so important.
Absolutely, and it does take, you know, it does take a certain amount of time and willingness to set the time aside, and that's a really important thing that we also emphasize, is that people can schedule their dates. And when we're dating, that doesn't seem like a big deal. Somehow we get the idea that when we're in a long-term relationship, everything should all of a sudden be spontaneous. And if you're waiting around for it to happen, it probably won't.
Right. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, The 40.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I just went and saw it. And let me tell you, okay, you know, some men need a pill. Some women need a pill. You know, that how much spontaneous can you get? Wait a minute, let me take my pill. Or, you know, I mean, how does it, you know, it's funny because on the other hand, I have my aunt that's here this weekend or a couple weeks with me from England. And so she's like, what's your show about today? And I said, we're going to talk about sex. And she says, oh my God. And this is just some of the things that she just told me about. Men think about sex every 3 seconds because they are stimulus. They just have to walk. Okay, right? And women are tucked away. So they need a hug. And then, you know, when they get a hug, the men think, oh, good. Well, that's not all we need. We need a little more than that. So it's interesting. But she was saying when you get older, when, you know, in the later years of our lives, right, is that men kind of turn back into boys again. And they have all the time in the world. And women... maybe not so much. So it's interesting. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm glad you brought it up because what they're finding, actually science is finding, is that women tend to desire intimacy only after they are aroused.
Mm.
And so you mentioned the hug, which is so important. If you're sitting around waiting for her to suggest a nice time together, she may not, her mind can continually be preoccupied, but if you take time not only to hug, but to give her a massage, her body then goes, oh, and then creates desire.
Right.
And that's what people are waiting for, desire, but it's awakened through arousing.
Right, and which leads into my next thing is that women take at least, 16 to 24 minutes, okay, and men... 4 minutes or less.
To be aroused,
you know? Yes, to be aroused, yeah. So men really need to be a little more patient or need to be a little more loving.
Well, or maybe they need to start earlier. So like during the
5 o'clock in the morning, well, right now.
Well, sending her things during the day, little messages, cards, little hugs. You know, it's kind of a progressive thing versus, okay, I'm ready now.
There you go.
Yeah. I think the other thing is when you get older, you're so busy taking care of other people. You know, for instance, if I'm in sweatpants, I mean, my husband doesn't care. He could be aroused anyway, but I may want to take a shower. And if I had some idea that this was coming, I would have felt better about myself and gotten myself feeling, you know, into the mood.
Don't you think
the answer to that is to make that part of your ritual?
Yeah.
Right.
To make a bath together part of what that whole evening is going to entail.
Well, sometimes when you have three kids at home, teenagers and all of their friends, you can't necessarily, plan that much ahead.
You can, but they know what you're doing. They're like, yeah. Really, Mom? Right? You know, or they're pounding on the door or, you know, so it does make it difficult.
That's why you need to plan to go away for a weekend or a night, or when you have that planned date, then you kind of psych yourself into doing what you need to be doing.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, I think although we don't have children, it's really important to set certain kind of boundaries and you know that your alone time is important and that you're going to have it.
Well, can I ask you how long you've been
teenagers,
married?
They can go off and you know and see their friends or something.
Well, Mark, this is Donna. Hi, Patricia. You know, it was interesting to me. That was my first question to you, to whether or not you had children.
Right, exactly.
I've been married 27 years with two children, and it's really hard to be on the same page with a lot of this information that you're giving us. And yet, in my tea room, it's very interesting because I see older couples come in all the time, and all they want is an intimate time together. They want that movie, and it's really kind of giving of that man to come into a tea room, and in that atmosphere, even though we're not a foo-foo type of Victorian atmosphere, it's kind of interesting to me because I always see that giving from that man and the appreciation that the woman is so appreciative that he is like giving her his time.
No
it's
question.
Very special.
Yeah. It is interesting. You men kind of, I think what's attractive to me is when my husband does something in my world, you know, and then to me, that's sexual, you know, that's what's going to, you know, reward, if you want to say, you know, and I'm sure when I go into his world, I'm sure that's the same way. So I think
we're back to know what the other person's
exactly.
needs are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyways, for anybody that's just tuning in right now, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking with Mark and Patricia. We're talking about great sex made simple. So a lot of your book talks about tantric trips, right? Tantric
yes.
tips.
And that's our background is in Tantra.
What is that?
Tantra is an ancient Indian tradition, and it recognizes sexual energy as a source of personal and spiritual empowerment. Now, basically what that means is that it gives you tools to recreate the magic of sex, you know, the times where it's just so stunningly magical at will. So you know how to predict and really create circumstances in which these wonderful experiences and exchanges can happen more consistently.
Hmm. Okay. And so are there actually things that you have to do to go through? What, I mean, how can you define Tantra for us in a way that we would actually know for a modern couple?
Well, it's a tradition that's closely related to yoga, which is actually, yoga's a lot more than physical exercises. It's an entire philosophy. But at the core of it in classical Tantra is the idea of worshiping your partner, and we really try to encourage people to bring that attitude of reverence and worship into as many of their everyday interactions as they can.
I like that.
Not just sex, but everywhere.
How you said that, worship your partner. I think if more people actually did that, we would be a lot happier. We would be more honorable in our relationships and our marriages.
You know, it's so interesting because for so many years, saying to people where they, you know, they complain about what their partner doesn't do and how their partner doesn't make them happy. And my first thing that I'll say to them is for 1 week, just do everything for your partner. Make it not about you. And people are reluctant to do that, I have to tell you. It's very hard for them. The majority of people are
and,
very
and
hard.
And the other thing that you always say is ask what you want, right?
Ask for what you need.
Ask for what you need. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, we like to distinguish between wants and needs so that stating a desire is one thing. And I think that if people really think of their desires as wants, I think it makes it easier to make that request for your partner.
Because if you say, like, if you're talking about something as a need, it's very easy for you to get extremely disappointed in your partner if your partner isn't meeting that need somehow. But if you make it more personal, it's this is what I want, then there's room for negotiation and there's room for a discussion.
So when I say ask for what you need, it doesn't necessarily translate into I need you to do this. It's a matter of asking for what you desire, you want, you whatever, in a way that is, as you're saying, however, also knowing that the person may not be capable of giving it to you. But it then brings it out into the open instead of so many people just thinking their partner's a mind reader. How come he doesn't know that this is what he needs to be doing? You know,
right,
so you can
a mind reader. Perfect.
Right.
Right. And that's just inhuman. Nobody can do that.
Exactly. So it's like, why doesn't he do this? Well, have you told him that you like it when he does that? In a way of saying, you know, it makes me really happy. So you're rewarding the things that are the good behavior versus focusing on the bad behavior with children, with partners, with anything. You're encouraging the things that you do like and do desire.
Absolutely. And you get a lot more when you express appreciation than when you express dissatisfaction.
So Mark and Patricia, okay, and again, their book, Great Sex Made Simple. What are some of the steps that my listeners and all of us in here, if say you start to not maybe have sex as often as you used to or you want to in your life, or you're feeling like, you know, there's just not enough time, what are some of the steps that you can help us with and maybe, you know, even help us to understand Tantra?
Well, again, I mean, I think that setting aside at least, you know, a time for it once a week is a great place to start. Keeping a level of physical contact and being intentional about touching each other just on a regular basis is also very important. Couples often kind of, we feel like they start to drift apart physically, sometimes even before they realize that there's an emotional gap starting to happen.
You know, but I think that especially when you have the children, the first thing that happens is you stop holding hands. Because you are holding hands with the kids and with, you know.
That's a great point, yeah.
So you stop having that personal touch with your husband on a daily, moment-to-moment basis. So, you know, the little things really do matter.
Oh, yeah, and they add up. I mean, that can really start to snowball if you lose. We talk about keeping in touch, and losing touch is you know, it's often we need contact and we need to be intimate with each other. We need to stay connected that way.
Right. And, you know, even in one of your things here, you talk about this. I know with four children, sometimes I get a little overwhelmed with my house and all the things that I need to keep it up. And as, you know, a wife, and, you know, I would find it so appreciative for my husband to say, what can I take off your plate? Oh, my God. Right there. That's appealing. And so I think that's really the key of really staying in tune with if they're overwhelmed or if they're, you know, yesterday I had to, you know, go all over to get a prescription for one of my children. And my husband's like, just tell me what you need. Just tell me how I can help you. And I was like, okay. And I'm thinking, do I really want him to do this? Yes, that would be so amazing.
Well, and then you have to appreciate the way they do it, not correct them
yes.
or change them.
We've
or
talked
do
about
something.
That, right?
You
yes.
really do need to love them for what they do, even if it's not the way you would have done it.
Well, it's really hard for women to release that part of their life. If that's what's in your life, you have control of that. I mean, not control, but you're in control of that. And it's really hard to release those things to somebody, to trust them, to say, okay, they will go to the market and they do know what an eggplant is.
Exactly.
How important is it, Mark, I'll ask you since you're the man, for a man to feel needed in a relationship?
I would say that the important thing for a man more often than not is to feel competent, more than to feel needed. And certainly
that's
what we see with a lot of the couples that we've worked with where there are problems, that's where it starts, is that the man somehow feels he's not competent. And whether that's in, you know, doing the errands or in the sexual realm, that's mm-hmm. just so demoralizing for a lot of men.
Wow, that really makes a lot of sense.
You know, as I was saying to a friend today, I was talking about somebody that I know and just saying that his wife is the smartest woman that I know. She has built him up. I said she worships him, but the truth is she knows exactly how to build him up in a way in every area, and he gives her absolutely everything in return.
But don't you think we all do know? I mean, I think we know that sometimes, but we withhold it. And we really shouldn't withhold good from each other.
Right.
Well, I think a lot of it is how do we behave? We behave in a way that is about what we feel about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So often we are so wrapped up in what we're feeling about ourselves that it's hard for us to actually think beyond ourselves and really start to think about the other mm-hmm. person and put the other right. person first. Because the truth is, if you're not feeling appreciated by your spouse, mm-hmm. that means that you are probably not making your spouse feel appreciated. So you're worrying about what you're feeling versus mm-hmm. how can I get out of this and actually do whatever I can for him so that in return he'll give me what I need.
Right. Yeah, instead of unconditional love, this is the person that you want to spend your life with, and you want to help each other be your best in possible in this lifetime. You know, so Mark and Patricia, do you work with couples?
Yes, we do. Mainly we do private work with couples.
But you've written a book,
right?
Great Sex Made Simple. And how do people get in touch with that or a hold of that?
You can find it through Amazon, Kindle Editions, your local bookstore, and we also have a website. That's www.tantrapm.com. That's TANTRAP as in Patricia, M as in Mark.com. Mm.
And what will they find in that book? Is there drawings or what is there?
Well, the book begins with a series of kind of what we think of as the core principles, and then there are a series of 54 tips. It's in very digestible format. Each tip is 2 or 3 pages long, and some of them are technical. Some of them are more attitude. There are drawings. There are photographs of us demonstrating some techniques. Nothing too explicit, but
good. Okay, you got to be scared there for a second. No.
So would it be kind of a fun book to have as far as you could pick a page and work on that page every week or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, is that how you would read your book?
Yeah, you can just put it by the bedstand and crack open a chapter, kind of glance slyly at each other and go, hey, let's see what happens if we try this.
Yeah, or in the morning, leave page 42.
Hint, hint, you cut it out, put it on the mirror, right? You know.
Make sure your kids don't find it.
Yeah, there. Now, isn't it pretty explicit book that if your kids find it?
Well, yeah, I don't think you want your kids necessarily.
Okay.
In the drawer.
Okay.
But it's not, you know, it's probably R-rated, I would say.
Okay. So, you know what, leave us with 2 tips that we can start our new life and really, you know, have a romance in our everyday life.
One thing I'd like to, is not really necessarily a tip, but I think it really ties together everything that we've been talking about, and that's the concept of defining love as profound interest.
Hmm.
And this is our favorite definition.
Okay.
And as for an actual tip from the book that's really simple and totally G-rated,
please,
just breathe together.
Breathe. Hmm.
It all, in a lot of ways, you know, as in yoga, it begins with the breath.
It will put you back in sync?
Yes.
Hmm. And also the glazing or the gazing into your eyes, that one that you talked about. How do you do that? You're just kind of romancing your eyes to each other?
The key component is to not talk.
Ah.
So you stand in silence. It only has to be 3 minutes or so.
Okay.
And relax your eyes and just gaze steadily into... I like to focus with my right eye onto Mark's left eye, and he'll do the same.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it puts you into a deep meditative state. And what it does is creates that nice, quiet mind state that you experienced when you were falling in love originally.
Is this something that if you do as a practice, you get better at and it gets more comfortable? I'm sure the first time you do it, you just start giggling. But
absolutely. I mean, we started doing it on our first day, and it's for 2 or 3 minutes every time. And for us now, it's really ingrained. And we also use it if we're feeling disharmony or conflict. Instead of having a discussion, we'll take a time out and we'll gaze into each other's eyes for a while. Mm. And what often happens as a result of that is that the issue that seems to be between us all of a sudden is something that we can attack together. So it's not I'm right and you're wrong and I've got to prove my point. It's like, let's tackle this.
You're talking about energy. I mean, you're going into that soul level of not even, it's not the physical, it's that next level of energy.
Is that true? Hello?
Hi, sorry. We missed that last comment.
Were you gazing in each other's eyes and you didn't hear us?
Yeah, we were wrapped in each other's eyes.
So you're talking about that soul level, that level of energy. It's not the physical, it's going to that deeper level of just resonating at that energetic level.
Yeah, it's all about that. There's an energetic harmony and connection, and once that starts to sever or get disrupted, then you find these small things start to creep up and seem important, then bickering and, you forgot this little thing, the small thing. That's a sign that you're out of sync.
Wow. And you know what? I love that. I mean, there's nothing better than being on the same page or being in sync with your partner. So thank you so much for joining us on my show. And again, Mark and Patricia, Great Sex Made Simple. And their website is www.tantrapm.com. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thanks for having us on.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye. All right. We're going to take a really quick break. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Donna Cacciola and all things tea. And there's a lot more to know than you think. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you not feeling your best or want to improve your health? Tired of going to a traditional doctor? Roland Reif of Natural Health Care Center, located in Thousand Oaks, has a different approach. Instead of masking the pain with medications, eliminate the pain. Roland is on the American Board of Anti-Aging Health Practitioners and focuses on your overall goal. With more than 20 years of experience in Eastern medicine, combining herbalology, Roland has been practicing acupuncture and Chinese since 1990. He incorporates his extensive knowledge of Western orthopedic. Let Roland help you learn how you can eliminate your condition and achieve optimal health and well-being. Call Roland, 805-497-4074. That's 805-497-4074. Tickets are on sale now for the Conscious Life Expo, February 8th through 11th at the LAX Hilton Hotel, an illuminating four-day event featuring transformational lectures, panels and workshops with best-selling authors, musicians, filmmakers, and visionaries exploring progress in wellness, science, spirituality, and healthy lifestyles, plus a film festival, Program Latino, 3 exhibit halls, live music, and healthy foods. For ticket info, visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com or call 1-800-367-5777.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally. On News Talk 1520 KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And I do want to do a giveaway right now. One of my favorite places to eat is Lure Fish House, and it's all fish, but also a lot of other things. And they actually have three locations now, one off of Ventura Boulevard in Camarillo, one off of California Street in Ventura, and one that they're getting ready to open up in Westlake, and so I have a $25 gift certificate to get you started for Valentine's Day. So all you have to do is give me a call at 805-419-0008 and leave me your name and what you're calling about and your number, and I will get back with you, and I will take caller number 4. So with that, again, 805-419-0008. I look forward to talking to you. All right. Also, our next guest is in the studio with us today, and Donna Cashola, and she is the owner of All Things Tea. And I went in there, and oh my gosh, how many teas do you have in there? On those, I mean, you have them like beautifully shelved. I guess, I mean, even the way you have them shelved is really a nice.
Well, we try to make it a visual for people and have it organized to where it, and we have about 130.
130 teas. And a lot of them have different things that they can help you health-wise, right?
Right. We work with healthcare practitioners, and so, you know, this is an ancient practice, really. It's not anything really new at all, other than the fact that Americans have not discovered a lot of it until recently. You know, there's more talk about Dr. Oz and different things. Thankfully, you know, he's gotten on board with specific teas that do seem to help. But anything that you can steep is a tea. It doesn't necessarily have to come from the Camellia sinensis plant, which that's where specialty leaf, whole leaf teas come from.
So where did you actually find your passion for tea?
You know, for me, Kim, personally, it was always in our home. It was always available for us, and yet I wasn't exposed to good tea until I became about probably 20. I started working with a little lady from Japan, and she introduced me to amazing green teas from Japan, and I gravitated immediately to it.
Wow.
I want to ask, okay, so I know there's an art to steeping tea. You have this great tea. You've spent money on a great tea. Mm-hmm. Do you use boiling water, hot water? How long do you steep it? Do you, well, you know, use it loose leaf? What's the best way to
do it? Well, this is the thing, Marcia. There really is no science to it. We don't want to make it a science, the brewing system, because what happens is that people start to complicate it, and then they become discouraged with steeping their tea, and we don't want to do that. Now, in saying that, you always brew to taste. But the important thing is that that's why somebody like myself can guide you a little bit, because there are different levels of a specialty leaf tea, different gradings. Some are much higher than others. And so you do want to take special care with that steeping process.
And I'm assuming that some teas are stronger than others, so you
Definitely.
Wouldn't have to steep them as long if you like a lighter tea or whatever.
Right, exactly. You know, I always put that on our bags. It's a guideline. It's not, you know, etched in stone, because some people will say, gee, I've always just oversteeped my tea, and, you know, and that's just the way they like to drink it, and I'm perfectly fine.
So I know there's a lot of benefits from using whole tea, whole leaf tea, right?
Right.
What are they? Tell us a
little
bit about that.
Well, on the stem of the plant, of the Camellia sinensis plant, there are three top leaves, a center bud, two side leaves, and then all the rest of the leaves on the stem. It's a associated, like, similar to what a camellia plant looks like. It is in that same family, and there are different varietals of that particular plant. What happens is the first three leaves are picked specialty for those whole leaf teas. Everything else on that stem usually goes on the floor. It's cuttings and flannings that you get in your tea bag.
That's interesting. So when
I'm sorry. So the higher quality tea you buy, the closer to the bud it is?
Yes. Yes. The center bud is only the silver needle, and that is just picked specifically for silver needle tea, which is a white tea, actually.
And then you'd buy it loosely and you would put it into
a brewing basket, hopefully. A lot of people use the old-fashioned method of like a tea ball, which doesn't actually allow the leaf to expand the way it should.
So what happened to when when I was growing up in South Africa, and you know, tea's a big thing there. Is the strainer. You would just put the leaves into the, you know.
And they're really, there again, I don't like to be so specific because in cultures all over the world, they just take that leaf and throw it into the pot and steep it till however they want.
I think the good thing about having the tea ball is that you don't land up with all of the tea leaves in your mouth.
Right. Yes, because I, in fact, it's funny, I had a tea bag, right? My husband's like, wait, what is all this in there? Oh, honey, it broke, okay? You know, but I mean, is it okay to drink that
tea? Well, it's just residual.
Right.
And some people are perfectly fine with it. Myself, I like a clean cup.
I like a clean cup, too.
I just do.
Well, you just get a mesh thing and pour it through it.
Right.
There's so many different methods, really.
Well, I just want to say, not only do I like a clean cup, but I also like a very thin cup.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Well, I like a specific teacup. Like, it needs to be, the rim needs to be thin, not like a heavy mug.
Not a mug. And that's funny because I don't like teacups.
So, really? You know, from somebody who likes a wine cup.
Well, I shouldn't say that. I like all things in real cups.
That's definite.
I don't like paper. I don't like styrofoam, especially styrofoam. But I prefer to have my fingers don't fit in a teacup as well as a mug.
Right.
Well, it's total preference. I mean, and that's what makes it so special, because I think once people discover what works for them with tea, it becomes that special time for them. It becomes very...
You know, it's interesting because my grandfather, my mother was born in China, and my grandfather was born, then my grandparents were born in China. And I can still smell the tea that my grandfather used to make.
Because
he would brew it specifically, and I could smell the milk, and I can still...
It's like a memory, isn't it?
It's a memory.
Yes. You know, and that's how... It's funny because I have relatives right now from England, but even my parents are both from England. And so what I grew up with an English cup of tea with the milk and a little bit of sugar. And so to me, that's like a feel-good drink.
Well, there's two sides of tea, and this is the important thing to remember. There is the nutritional value that is exceptional, more than medicinal side of tea. Plus, there's the enjoyable side.
Right.
And the enjoyable side is okay, too. I mean, because if you're going to drink with milk, I can honestly tell you, and you want some nutrient value from that leaf, you're actually cutting the nutrient value when you
add
milk.
And it's funny, when I went in to have tea with you, which, what did I have? Because it was amazing.
I think you had Noelle. I'm not
sure. Okay, yeah, it was her tea of the day. But it was so funny, and she's like, oh, do you need cream? And I go, oh, yes, please. And then I thought for a second, and she thought, she goes, taste it first. And I was like, oh, I don't need anything. This is like, it was.
Yeah, that's what I don't put anything in my tea. But one thing I have discovered, every year on New Year's Day, I give up sugar till after Lent because, you know, during Christmas it goes crazy. So usually I have cravings or headaches. I have been drinking tea every night, a peach tea, and I don't have any sugar cravings anymore.
Good. Well, we have many teas that would satisfy an after-dinner, you know, urge for something sweet, and we call them dessert teas. Is especially with coming around with Valentine's, you might think about a chocolate tea. Several teas that
chocolate
have,
tea
or a cinnamon tea.
Cinnamon,
you know, something.
Yeah. Anything that arouses your senses is what's going to be special for you.
And is there a tea that actually has a
aphrodisiac.
Yes. I knew where I was going with that. Okay, yeah.
Well, I imagine the chocolate teas do.
Really?
Of course, you can always pair teas very well with certain things. Like we do hand-rolled truffles.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, and there's another thing I want to talk about, too, because when I was there, you actually had somebody come in for a pitcher of tea.
Yes.
And we talked a little bit about that. Yeah. So there's so many things. I want to have a tea party. Something that I want to do. But you also pair your tea with different things.
Yes, we do. When we do afternoon and high tea or just coming in for lunch, I don't necessarily make it as specific for those casual, people that just come in casually. But when we are pairing food, we try very hard to make sure that the tea is going to complement the food and that it's not going to overpower the food, because we have lovely cinnamon teas, but sometimes when you're going to eat a particular meal, because the petite sandwiches are so mild, and the food that we eat is, I mean, that we make is very clean. So there's not a lot of preservatives with salt or sugar. You want to be able to taste the pureness of that food.
Hmm. So yours is a restaurant. It's not just a tea house.
It was a tea room. And tea shop slash tea shop, because in most tea rooms, you don't emphasize the tea, because they usually serve coffees or, sparkling wines and different things, sodas.
Mm-hmm. So would you have an event there? Like, would you come have a tea party or an event?
We're small, intimate, we're just small and intimate, but we can house up to 24 comfortably.
So a perfect place for a bridal shower.
There you go. Now, I know that there's like a morning tea, mm-hmm. and then there's an afternoon, a lunch tea. Is that how it would work, or how would you say?
Well, mainly what happens is that when people come in the morning, they're ready for a little strong cuppa, and they want some caffeine usually. And then by mid-afternoon, they feel like they have a need for a pick-me-up, but they're not sure what they want. So that would be the time for a nice Darjeeling. A nice oolong, something without caffeine later on in the day, in the nighttime.
Okay. Does this lady know what her tea or what?
I'm telling. So would people come to you if they do have ailments? Like, would the medicinal purposes?
Well,
or not?
No, because I'm not a healthcare practitioner, and that's why I deal with people like Roland, who you had on your show.
Yeah.
He and I have worked together for about 20 years, and so if they do the recommending, then we fill the bill.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Now, talk to us about, you had made this tea in a pitcher.
Well, we have a particular customer that's been coming in for we're starting our fourth year in business in this, in our shop in Camarillo. Before that, we were an online business, and we still have a thriving website for sure. What happens is we start with very, very good water. And I think that's the most principle for having good tea.
What does that mean?
Well, it's not just about certainly about filtered water, for sure. But we also have a pH balanced for where we are. It's a very sophisticated water system. And so people were finding, they go home, they make tea, and they weren't loving it because, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference was our water. And then, too, in order to do a little recycling, we actually offered to have this particular customer, because she was getting like 4 cups every other day. And, that's a lot of plastic. So we said, why don't we make this easy on you? We'll just make a whole pitcher for you that will last you 3 to 4 days. And she loves it. She comes
in. So is that iced tea, or she buys it cold and then she heats it up?
No, this particular customer does drink
it's iced tea. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's
so iced. Is there a temperature that you boil the water to? Is there a specific temperature?
Well, for her, it's a green tea that she has just absolutely loved, and it makes her feel good. It energizes her, and she's done particularly well. And so, with green teas, you have to take a little more care.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just talking about with your teas in general. Do you have a specific boiling point? And are you saying that you have different boiling points for different teas?
Different teas. Uh-huh.
So isn't that interesting? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like,
just boil the kettle, throw it in.
Yeah. And that's perfectly permissible. I'm not, the person to point the finger, one way. I just know I was trained by an Indian and an Asian tea master.
So if you're doing this at home, if we buy tea from you and we take it home,
yes.
So start with filtered water is the best thing.
The best thing to do. And then depending on the tea, say you came home with a good strong black tea, or say, for instance, you came home with a tisane, which a tisane actually just means it has no caffeine to start. Ribos is a tisane. And so you really don't have to have much care with that boiling point. Just boil it up to the 212 and then use it promptly. If you have a green or an oolong that's going to be a high-end green or oolong, you want to take more care. So green, you would boil up to about 175. No science. Just boil the water to 212 anyway, and then set it aside for 3 to 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that we're so grateful that you are here and you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Donna Casciola, and she is the owner of All Things Tea. You're going to want to definitely go and check it out. But, it's funny because when I'm a hair therapist, so when people come in, they don't know all what to use and what to order. Do you kind of, how do you ask them?
Well, you know, most people who have been exposed to good tea, once they are, they do get it. They start to appreciate and understand. It's like anything, though, good wine, good chocolate, good anything. But you know, when they come in, I try to, and we train our staff very well. You know, I work with sommeliers. We, you know, they know the fields and the gardens, and I have a better palate usually. So together, it's very synonymous to work together on things. And when people come in, I love it when they have no clue. Some people get very overwhelmed because it is a lot of tea. And so we just start with the basics. Do you want caffeine? Do you not? Do you like something mild or strong? Would you want fruit or spice? No, I don't want either. Okay, let's do traditional teas for you. It's very simple to get to the bottom of it.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about, you said, is it called rooibos?
Rooibos.
Rooibos. Okay. Mm-hmm. South African. Okay. But you had talked about that you actually have to, the really potent one, mm-hmm. you have to keep in the refrigerator, correct?
Oh, well, that's not rooibos. Oh, okay. That's matcha.
Oh, matcha. Okay.
Matcha is a green tea.
Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. It starts from the cut of bancha to sincha to tincha, and then that's ground into a stone granite grinder. At least the company we use still does everything the old-fashioned method, and they're 125 years old, and our matcha is pure. And you can get the culinary version, or you can get the ceremonial version. We carry both, but it is a live cell.
And what is the difference?
The difference is price, for sure. And the other difference is care, because anything that's going to be labor-intensive, and the Japanese and Chinese do amazing jobs, the Indians also, with their labor intensity on their teas, Taiwanese.
Now, mm-hmm. they're used a lot for health issues, correct?
Well, you know, if you listen to a Dr. Oz, you know, regularly or something like that, you know that he will recommend specific things for things. However, they don't tell you that there's tools that need to be had with those.
And what are those tools?
Well, with a ceremonial matcha, you would want to use a bowl, a matcha bowl, usually Japan made. Also a whisk and a sift. Because you do keep it in the freezer, you want to sift through that and make sure it's a very finite powder. And then you add your water and whisk that vigorously.
Is it hard to do?
It's not hard to do. It's just the learning process. We actually do a matcha workshop once a year.
That's what I would love to have mm-hmm. us go in.
And then what's the advantage of drinking that?
Yes.
Well, there's tons of advantages. The advantage most of my customers get are their energy level changes, their focus. I have a lot of teachers and paralegals on that.
Is it a detox type thing?
Not necessarily, other than the fact that you are putting good things into your body.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you could tell us a little bit mm-hmm. about what's the best tea that mm-hmm. is there one best tea that you should drink or
most popular?
Yeah.
Well, we just did our whole inventory for this last year, and our most popular tea was our jasmine green. It's a loose leaf organic, and
that's Chinese, right?
It is Chinese.
Okay, good.
And it's a great everyday tea, and I sell a lot of that and pu'er. Pu'er is a Chinese tea.
Okay,
also.
How long should you keep tea?
Oh, good question.
Well, we always put an expiration date on each bag that we send out the door. And that for that purpose is because we always feel that 9 months out, and that's with proper storage, is the best. You could use it for 2 years over that, but 9 months is what we
prefer.
What
is proper storage?
Proper storage would be depending on the tea, not usually the refrigerator or a freezer unless it is a matcha, but proper storage would be just in a nice dark tin or bag. We bag it, but we have a ton of different types of tea.
Airtight,
and then in a pantry, mm-hmm. out of the sunlight.
Now, you went from online mm-hmm. to in the store. Mm-hmm. Is there any difference?
Well, yeah. Yes. You know, online, we were having to rent space. We were having to do, you know, it was a harder way to do. Of course, we were hauling to farmers markets and having to get the word out there, you know, peddling it, basically. And we it was then when we opened the brick and mortar, you know, I'm stationary now, and now people can come and have events and do things there because we have a full certified kitchen.
Well, and there's something about taking time to have tea. Mm-hmm. It's not like taking time to have coffee.
No, it isn't.
It's a very different thing. Taking time to have tea is just so pleasurable.
Right. It's almost like one of those feeding your soul. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's like
it's very nourishing.
And
for
I
ourselves.
Have to tell you, I mean, it really, you know, you can go to a lot of places, but when you have somebody that has as much knowledge as that you already have and that the passion, I mean, that was what I was so impressed with.
I love companies that are owned by a person that you meet that, that is passionate about what they do. There's something about that that is irreplaceable to me.
Energy. There you go. You know what, Donna, give out your address again.
Okay, it's 300 North Lantana Street, and we're suite number 37 in Camarillo.
And what's the name of your center?
It's Paseo Mall. We're right across from Wood Ranch, off the freeway, right off the freeway. You
it's
can
got a
see
little
our
private
signs.
Area right so there.
And that is a fun little place. I mean, there's that great theater that has, you know, foreign films and interesting films, and there's some a wine bar. There's some great things in there.
Yeah, I would like to put together a little tea party and have my listeners come join us. Well, I think it would be really fun.
We said English for sure.
Yeah, there you go, exactly. But it's fun to try everything. I mean, it's kind of like being in a cookie, you know, or a candy store, but a tea store. So anyways, again, Donna, and I know you brought something to give away. So let's open up our phone lines right now. And 805-419-0008. What are we going to give away?
We'd like to give away a tea for two. That would include, you know, lovely pastries and scones, and we would and sandwiches.
And which are all homemade, right there, right?
Everything's handmade, artisan,
and gluten free too, right?
Some gluten free items, depending are mostly we try to do organic if we can. For
okay,
sure.
Again, all things tea, and the phone number there is 805-445-8327. Again, 300 Lantana Street, number 37.
And what are your hours?
We're open Tuesday through Saturday. We're open from 10 to 6, but Sundays and Mondays for events and appointments.
All right. Donna is going to stay with us. If we have any questions, please give us a call. And I'm going to set something up for all my listeners out there, but definitely go get your tea as soon as possible at All Things Tea. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Kathy Lipp, and we're going to talk about the Husband Project, 12 months for Valentine's Day all year long. Stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
When I take my sugar to tea, all the boys are jealous of me, 'cause I never take her where the gang goes. When I take my sugar to tea, I'm a rowdy dowdy, that's me. She's a hi-hat baby, that's she. So I never take her where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea.